True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Good morning and welcome into WEEI. Dan Ball with you and for the guys, Jones and Keefe. It is Friday, November the 28th, 2025, just after 11 a.m. Thanks to the lead-in from Mego and Lyons this morning. Great to hear them in for the Greg Hill Show. But I'm with you here 11 until 2:30. It's a long one here this afternoon, but I tell you what, we got a busy one in store. But hello to those listening on the flagship, 93.7 WEEI Boston Sports Original. We're here in our studios powered by Verizon. Hello to those listening as well on our affiliates in the Cape, Providence, Springfield, Worcester, Portland, as well as Keene, Claremont, and White River Junction out there in Vermont. And if you're not listening on any of those, you probably have the free Odyssey app downloaded. And if you don't have that already, you can catch live shows, you can catch podcasts, original content from WEEI.com, and so much more. So here's what we have coming up on the program today. 11:30, we're talking to Lou Merlone of WEEI in Nesson, and then at 12:30, we're talking with Paul Hambakidis of ESPN, because we're going full Red Sox hot stove to begin our show here today. I understand that it's cold, so why not heat up the hot stove and talk a little bit about the Red Sox, who were busy. They kind of made their first step into the offseason earlier on this week. I was sitting back behind the microphone on WEEI Afternoons waiting for a chance to break it down a little bit more. So now is that chance. So we'll get into the Red Sox for the first couple hours, then the Patriots. A game against the New York Giants that I'm seeing more pessimism around than I think you would expect from a team that has 10 wins. So we'll get into the Patriots and what they can expect against the New York Giants, and specifically the response to a comment from Tommy Curran in this very slot with Jones and Keefe on Tuesday, saying that he thinks the Patriots are capable of losing three games in a row. We'll get into that, and we'll also get the side of the opposition from ESPN's Jordan Ronan. He's going to join us at 1:30, and then we'll wrap up at 2 o'clock with the Athletic's Julian McKenzie talking about the Boston Bruins and the NHL. So we're loaded, and the only thing that we're missing is you at 617-779-7937. You can join the conversation via phone and via text. I know there are Red Sox fans out there that have been waiting to get their 2 cents in on Sonny Gray, and really just the tone that's being set by Craig Breslow and company to start the offseason, but we'll get into that right now. Good morning to Jackson Burns, who's on the ones and twos this morning. Jackson, how are you, sir?
Hello, I am excellent. Happy Black Friday.
And to you, how was your Thanksgiving? I understand it was a Thanksgiving for the ages.
There were some highs and there were some lows is what happened.
Okay, so my understanding is that there are two stories that came out of this. I want to get one first, and then we'll get the other one a little bit later, but give me something from your Thanksgiving.
All right, so we'll save the tense, you know, drama part for later, but we'll get to the funny part right now.
I like that.
I leave Thanksgiving dinner to take the little dog out, my little Frenchie Niles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Little thing.
Yeah, he is. I like to take him on adventures in the woods and find different places to walk him. So we go walk, and we walk for quite a while, and then get back in the car. And you know how when dogs do that shaky thing, they shake their, you know, body from head to toe?
Yeah, yeah.
He did that, and little did I know, he had a little bit of a mud pile left, and so he literally shook poop all over my car. That was the what capped off my Thanksgiving evening.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess if nothing else, at least that was the way it ended than the way it began.
Yes.
If you're looking for a silver lining from it, you don't have anybody that you're going to impress after the fact. But
no,
that's kind of a crappy way to end Thanksgiving.
Yes, it is.
If I do say so myself. But okay, so we'll leave the one that kind of
leave the one that got me walking in the woods for later.
Fair enough. But Jackson's going to be riding with me all morning into afternoon. Always great to have him alongside. So let's get into the Boston Red Sox. The acquisition of Sonny Gray from the St. Louis Cardinals. Just to reset the table on this move a little bit, the Cardinals kicked in $20 million, meaning that $21 million of Gray's salary will count against the Red Sox luxury tax total in 2026. He already received a qualifying offer in the past, so he won't be eligible to receive one at season end for the Red Sox. So this is the textbook definition of a one-year rental for the Boston Red Sox. This is not a guy that you're building around. This is not the 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation with Garrett Crochet for years and years to come. This is simply adding a piece into your rotation for 2026 in a move that in a vacuum suggested to me, they're starting to think about win now type moves. They're looking at 26 as a year where we can really go for this thing. So we're adding some veteran talent that is extremely reliable. With the exception of 2020, the former first-round pick has started, this is from MLB Trade Rumors, by the way, at least 24 games every year since 2019, averaging 29 starts per 162-game season in that time. Last year, 407, in the 2 years in St. Louis, I should say, 407 ERA, 28.4% strikeout rate, 5.4% walk rate, and a 43.2% grounder rate in 347 innings. So I know those percentages sounds like I'm sending a million different numbers at you, but what that means is he strikes a decent amount of guys out, doesn't put runners on, and is able to limit fly balls. And when you have the Green Monster looming over you for half of your starts in a given season, it's probably a good trait to have. Now, with a Red Sox defense that has led Major League Baseball in errors or been in the top three for the last handful of years, maybe a ground ball pitcher doesn't sound as great to the Red Sox as it does to other teams in baseball. But just from a surface level, what his stuff is able to create, what his secondary pitches are able to create, that's kind of the profile of the pitcher that you're getting. He's in his mid-30s. He's been around the block. And the good side of this is you're adding veteran talent to your roster. So many of the complaints that we had at the beginning of the season for the Red Sox were that, well, this team hasn't done anything. They don't have players that have accomplished anything in their careers. Your quote-unquote veterans were guys like Jaron Duran and Willier Abreu, guys who are still in their third, maybe fourth year in the big leagues with next to no playoff experience in front of you. So what you're doing is you're adding not only just veteran presences, because you've done that in your rotation. You added Lucas Giolito. He then gets hurt. You added Patrick Sandoval while he was hurt. And don't forget, Sandoval is still in the mix for this year. This is the second half of that two-year deal that's now been a complete net loss for you. So you're not only adding a veteran presence, which is not new to this front office. You're actually adding a guy whose biggest resume accomplishment is I go out there and post. I'm out there every fifth day, whether you like it or not. So if nothing else, you have a veteran who's been in the playoffs and a guy who you know who you can count on to at least be out there to eat innings every fifth day. That's the good. So what's the bad about this? And why would I take a more negative tone on the acquisition of Sonny Gray? Well, for one, his worst stretch as a professional was the year and a half that he spent as a member of the New York Yankees. Other than that, Gray has been with Cincinnati. He was with Minnesota, with St. Louis during these rebuilding years. Other than that time in New York, Sonny Gray has not played a lot of meaningful baseball or pitched in a lot of meaningful baseball games in his career. That one little playoff stretch that he had with the Yankees, he walked as many guys as he struck out, 6 strikeouts and 6 walks. And that led to what you could probably go back and look at was the least productive full year of his career, which was that 2018 season. Sonny Gray being a failure in New York is indirectly why the Yankees felt compelled to go acquire Garrett Cole. He was kind of supposed to be your top of the rotation guy in New York, and it didn't work. And so a year after that, you realized, oh, well, we don't really have an ace that we thought we were going to. And that's why Gerrit Cole goes from the Houston Astros to the New York Yankees indirectly. But I say all of that to say, I do worry about this guy's ability to pitch in a big market. I worry about his ability to handle adversity. I worry about what happens if he strings consecutive poor starts together. Now, this is nothing that's quantifiable. This is nothing that you can statistically point to and go, this is going to be an issue or not. It's simply a between-the-ears thing where he's been a mid-3 ERA pitcher for most, if not all, of his career, except for that time he spent with the Yankees, playing in a big market with the microscope on him. And you ask any fan in New York, and they will talk about Sonny Gray with quite the tone around him. So that's the one kind of takeaway that worries me. He has a 6.06 ERA in games pitched at Yankee Stadium, which was the highest among any pitcher in the new Yankee Stadium, with a minimum of 100 innings pitched. So, and his numbers also against the Red Sox and at Fenway Park are also pretty poor. So you also have to add that into the mix. But that's the specific concern that I have with the individual that the Red Sox acquired. The package that was sent back out the other way, Richard Fitz, there were some highs, there were some lows, but I still don't think that he had unequivocally confirmed to you, hey, I'm a top five starter on a team that's competing for a World Series. I think that he's got some electric stuff that he discovered this year. The fastball was getting up in the upper 90s, and there were some moments that you looked at the body of work and said, oh, this kid's legit, but can't stay on the field. For whatever reason, could not win games. He went his first, you know, out of 9-10 appearances without being able to win a game, despite pitching to an ERA in the threes. Would get hurt, would miss time, would come back, would be okay, but then would get sent down. Just never, for whatever reason, was able to stick on a Red Sox team that so very desperately needed pitching depth as they were kind of trying to figure out the bottom part of their rotation. They had Newcomb, they had Fitz, they had Dobbins, and they had Houck, and they had Cutter Crawford. Well, they never really had Crawford, but he was at least in the mix. Fitz would have pitched meaningful innings if he could at least stick and could stay healthy, and neither of those were true. So you trade a guy who is still very much a raw and unfinished prospect, and a guy in Brandon Clark, the prospect that they sent out, the lefty who had just fallen out of the Red Sox top 10 prospect list in Baseball America the day before the deal was done. So the jury's still very much out. The walk rate's up, pitched to a mid-4 ERA. It was only his first year as a pro, but he's still eons away. He, Brandon Clark, matches the trajectory that the Cardinals are on much more than the Red Sox. So you sent two guys that are projects out. You brought one guy who is an established veteran in. Okay, that makes sense in what you were trying to accomplish. But then let's take a look at this from a Red Sox perspective, where Craig Breslow was quoted during the GM meetings a couple weeks ago saying that we are set in our rotation from numbers 3 through 10. So with the implication in that sentence that, yeah, duh, we already have a number one as well. The guy that was a Cy Young finalist is our ace. And then we have numbers 3 through 10 set up, which is any combination of Brian Bayo and Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck and Peyton Tolley and Connolly Early and Hunter Dobbins and all these different, and Patrick Sandoval, all these guys that are kind of rolling around as your pitching depth right now. That was what Breslow was addressing. He said 3-ish through 10-ish. It's those guys that kind of match up with your pitching depth. So the only thing that's left is who is your number two starter behind Garrett Crochet. So I think almost every Red Sox fan looked at that and went, oh, that's a Joe Ryan. That's a Dylan Cease. That's a Freddie Peralta. That, you know, that's a difference maker that they're looking at. That's a higher leverage move. That's a pick up our negotiations with the Minnesota Twins, but this time get it over the goal line on Joe Ryan. That's, I think, what all of us looked at and said, especially because the general consensus that we were told, and this was both in on-air conversations, off-air conversations, stuff that doesn't make it to air, the general consensus was, yes, the Red Sox did not finish the job on Joe Ryan, but by no means is this conversation over. It was very much what happened with Gerrit Crochet at the trade deadline in 2024. Yeah, we kicked the tires on it. They were asking for the sun and the moon. We didn't get it done in time, but we're probably going to continue this dialogue when the offseason comes around. So there is still very much a chance that the Red Sox are to turn around and to make a higher leverage move in the rotation. But immediately following the acquisition of Sonny Gray, that's when the astute reporters who do tremendous work around this team started to come out and spread a bit more pessimism around what the Red Sox plans are in their starting rotation. Alex Speer, the Red Sox are unlikely to pursue a top free agent starting pitcher after acquiring Sonny Gray, knowing also they need to spend on a big bat. They will take a, quote, opportunistic approach to adding to other parts of the roster, including a possible trade for a number two starter. So, not ruling out the possibility that there's another pitching move to be made, but certainly giving us a bit more of a down-to-earth, rooted-in-reality view on just how aggressive the Red Sox are going to be. I look at the way that this starting rotation is set up, and it is very, very fair and obvious to me that this rotation is not a championship-caliber rotation. Because, essentially, you've made a lateral move so far. You've gone from Lucas Giolito to Sonny Gray, and I view that as roughly a lateral move. Neither of those guys, for a full season, are the number two starter that you want leading you into a playoff series. Then the Toronto Blue Jays turn around and add injury to insult, so to speak, with the acquisition of Dylan Cease. 7 years, $210 million. Too many years? Yes. Too much money? Yes. I look at that number and go, no thanks, I'm good. Same way as when Max Fried got the extra year. I looked at that and went, that's probably too much. Same thing with Carlos Rodon in the division. That's too much. But it's a risk from a team that is willing to do what it takes to win a World Series. And as much as I think that they overpaid and that investment may sour, they recognize that their window to win a championship is now, and they're doing what it takes in order to capitalize on that. You examine what the Red Sox would roll out in a hypothetical rotation to start a season right now. Somehow, by the way, this is why you have to take every statistic with a grain of salt. Because I was on FanGraphs taking a look at the different depth charts that are currently available for teams, just in terms of the players that they still have on their books. The Red Sox were ranked as having the second best rotation in Major League Baseball today, right now, based on the wins above replacement brought by each individual pitcher when you put it all together. By comparison, the Seattle Mariners were ninth, I believe, in terms of rotation depth, when it's widely regarded as a top, I don't know, three rotation in baseball. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers, and then probably the Seattle Mariners, and then everybody else gets to fight for third. So the Red Sox were ranked as second, which is automatically ridiculous. Crochet, Gray, Bayo, Sandoval, Crawford, Early, Harrison, Toley, Dobbins, Criswell. Those are the guys that are regarded as competitors for starters. What you like about that is your number one. You like about that is your depth, and you like about that is your minor league depth as well. What's missing is that second part of the 1-2 punch that I think everybody recognizes the Red Sox are currently missing. You're missing a guy who starts game two of a playoff series. Compared to the Toronto Blue Jays, who now roll with Dylan Cease, Kevin Gausman, Jose Berrios, Shane Bieber, and Treya Savage. That's sick. That is a legitimate rotation. To where Jose Berrios, who is been a very, very good pitcher in his career, had a down year last year, but still a very good pitcher, is probably on the outside looking in at a playoff series there. You're not benching your Savage after what he just did, and you're certainly not benching the guy you just paid $210 million to, or Kevin Gausman, who was your ace coming into last year, or Shane Bieber, who coming off of surgery certainly found his form down the stretch. So that is leaps and bounds better than what you're rolling out. This is just rotation. We haven't even scratched the surface on the lineup deficiencies of the Red Sox. Then you got the Yankees. Fried, Rodon, Schlittler,
a returning from injury Gerrit Cole, Will Warren, Luis Gil. I would almost guarantee that the Yankees are not done. I would almost guarantee that that's going to look different. It may be a reuniting with Michael King, whom they traded as part of the Juan Soto deal. I don't know what name makes the most sense to New York, but I don't think that they're going to sit on their hands seeing what Toronto did and go, yeah, no, this is good. This is good enough. So the question becomes to you at 617-779-7937, do you trust the Red Sox to react to what's going on around them, which is the rich are getting richer? And all of a sudden, you're seeing the gap between where the Red Sox are, which is a fringe wild card team, as they were a season ago, and the top teams in the American League, the Blue Jays, the Yankees, the Mariners, the Tigers, even, I guess, the Astros, though they have some tough decisions to make. You're starting to see the gap widen already. Is there a counterpunch that comes from Craig Breslow and company? Do they have the intestinal fortitude in order to do that? And by the way, if your answer is yes to that, you do believe that they're going to be able to respond, and the mission statement of a number two starter, a high impact bat, and a complimentary bat is still on the table, you have more faith than me, because I unfortunately have to base my predictions on the evidence that's in front of me, and the evidence in front of me is that the Red Sox are not capable of having that swift of an offseason in front of them. 617-779-7937. Before we get to trending with Jackson, John is in the car. What's up, John?
You know, Dan, this, I have to remember that this isn't the same team that I used to root for 20 years ago. I feel like I'm in a chastity belt with this team. I watch all these other teams get better,
yep,
make the obvious move, the most direct, A to B equals C, and then I get to the Red Sox. I got to be honest. They were stuffing down my throat for, what, 2 months before the trade deadline, how Joe Ryan was the guy, You could trade Joe Ryan for Jaron Duran straight up. If you're losing the deal, I don't care. Because if I gave Jaron Duran a peach basket, he couldn't catch the ball. So if... And as usual, this team misses the opportunity when this guy got legitimate MVP votes 2 years ago, and now you're going to get 50 cents on the dollar for Jaron Duran. So if you were going to get Joe Ryan, and now you pretty much just got to buy Joe Ryan, and he's not going to get the money that all these other guys are getting, I'd rather have Giolito than Gray, personally. I just think Giolito's a better pitcher. Gray is due to break down this year. If you look at his statistics last year, he had 32 starts, year before 28,
yep,
32 3 years ago, 26 4 years ago. He's going to break down. He's going to have a month off, just like Giolito. I think Giolito is a better pitcher. I also think they're nuts if they think Aroldis Chapman is going to have the year he did last year. That was incredible. Nobody's ever done that before in the history of baseball. And it's not going to happen. It just isn't possible. To be that good again for another full season is just, it's not fair to ask that of him. So where is the $250 million plus Bregman's money that opted out that this team now has in their coffers? Where is it being spent on the field? That's the question.
Thank you, John, and a hell of a question indeed that I think Red Sox fans have been asking since Rafael Devers was sent out the door. Where's the money? I know some of it went to Garrett Crochet. I know some of it went to Roman Anthony, but whatever money that was sent to those guys was just given back to you when Alex Bregman opted out and became a free agent. It's a point that's well taken, because it is out there to be spent, but it has to be spent by a team that actually is motivated and it will do everything that they need to do to win a World Series. And I'm on the side of John, and I'm on the side of a lot of Red Sox fans right now that I just don't think they have the stomach for it anymore. I still do not believe, and I would love to be proven wrong as a fan of the Red Sox, that they do have it within them to do whatever it takes to bring a World Series back to Boston. Anything that takes away from the Red Sox being a cash machine, I'm not sure they have the stomach to do. But we'll continue that conversation at 617-779-7937. And to continue that conversation, we're bringing on the very best in Lou Merlone of WEEI and Ness in the broadcast. This year, he was fantastic. He's been waiting to talk a little bit about the Red Sox and the Sonny Gray deal. We'll do that after Jackson Burns gets you caught up on what's trending.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Thanksgiving football is in the books. The Packers defeated the Lions behind Jordan Love's 4 touchdown passes. Final was 31-24. In the midday game, the Cowboys found a way to take down the Kansas City Chiefs, 31-28. And the Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase-led Cincinnati Bengals made their returns and dominated the Baltimore Ravens, 32-14. The Bruins, they have a matchup today against the New York Rangers. Puck drop for that one is at 1 o'clock from the Garden. The Celtics have the day off but are back in action tomorrow afternoon against the Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Patriots, they placed Will Campbell on IR with his MCL sprain, and both Morgan Moses and Jared Wilson were listed as did not participate in practice. And the 8-3 Bears take on the 8-3 Eagles today at 3, which you can hear right here on 93.7 WEEI, with pregame starting at 2:30. Trending brought to you by Mario's Roofing. Homeowners, choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Jackson. That is trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell fuel rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Back here on WEEI, the Red Sox hot stove is fully fired up. Sonny Gray is a member of the Red Sox. More moves hopefully to come of varying severities. But for the latest on the Red Sox and the reaction to the Sonny Gray move, we welcome on Lou Maloney. Lou, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Dan, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How's your offseason treating you so far?
So far, so good.
All right.
Yeah. I liked a little bit of a little activity, which is, I feel like it's kind of early, you know, going into the meetings next week. So it's kind of nice. Hopefully it gets it going.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yeah, the Gray trade kind of caught a decent group of Red Sox fans off guard. But yeah. what's the good and the bad on the scouting report of Sonny Gray?
The good is I think he's a good pitcher. You know, I think that this game is about strikeouts. You now have two guys that can strike 200 guys out in your rotation. I'll go to the bad, because that's the part that's for me, is that I was hoping this was a younger pitcher, one you could extend and have for another 4 or 5 years along with Garrett Crochet. So right. That's the bad, right? Like, if it's a Joe Ryan with 2 years left, you pitch him in the middle of the summer, you announce a 3 or 4 year extension, you get two guys moving forward forever, right? In terms of baseball terms, forever. But with the 36-year-old Sonny Gray, this is a 1 year deal. So can he pitch like a number two? Sure. You know, I think he can. I think he's a really good pitcher. I was just looking at, like, FanGraphs and Sierra and all these things. They had him ranked ninth going in the next year, because there's a lot of strikeout. The stuff is still really good. So he's a good pitcher. I just was looking for somebody to have a little more length, somebody you could enjoy for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
That kind of caught me off guard as well. I was looking at the depth chart rankings that FanGraphs puts out, and they had the Red Sox rotation as the second best in baseball when you kind of tabulated all the wars together. But I'm guessing by your tone that you view this move as prohibitive, that this may be the number two of the Red Sox next season.
Hold on. My kid's with a dog in the background, for God's sakes. I'm like, control the dog. He's like, yeah, no problem. Say that to me one more time. I'm sorry.
No, that seems like an easy enough task, but it's a holiday for everybody. But do you view the Sonny Gray trade as prohibitive, where this may be the number two in the rotation?
No, I don't. Okay. It could very well be, but I also look at it as you got one thing done. You've added – your rotation is better. I think you've gotten better in your rotation with Sonny Gray, and you walk into a winter meeting, you continue to talk. I never thought that they were going to be in on Dylan Cease, $210 million. I don't think they're going to be in on Frambois. I never thought that free agency was where they're going to upgrade. It was going to be through trade. So now you have a little more leverage. You're not as desperate, when you're talking to the Twins or you're talking to another team. So I still think there's an opportunity there. We'll see. The thing I keep going back to is like just being around Breslow in this operation. It's like they signed some guys, and I don't think anybody was excited about Chapman last year.
Right.
His days of closing are over. They look at certain numbers. They brought in guys like Crochet, obviously, Chapman, Justin Wilson, and you were like, Wilson was a down year. And they're like, no, there's swing and miss there with all of them. And I'm like, okay. And there was. Bueller didn't work, but I could see this front office sitting back and saying, I don't know what anyone's talking about. Sonny Gray is legit number two. Look at the swing and miss. Look at the Ks. He doesn't walk anybody. Like this is what we were looking for. It's just a one-year deal and not a 4 or 5. So it we'll see how they fall on this. But they still have some room and not as desperate when it comes to trades.
You mentioned how many kind of diamond in the rough or the scrap heap finds that the Red Sox have been able to kind of put together the last 2 years. Does Breslow and company, just from a general look at the way this team has been built, do they deserve more credit than they get from Red Sox fans?
Well, yeah, because people are still kind of stuck in like a Heim Bloom complete rebuild phase, and they don't realize that in front of them, this guy in year two brought in Garrett Crochet, brought in Carlos Narvaez in the trade, extended Crochet, extended Anthony, brought in Chapman, extended him. So it's like, year two, listen, he had a bad trade deadline.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. He had a bad trade deadline, and when the season's over is when you can really evaluate it, because you're like, well, let's see what Dustin May can be for 2 months, and it didn't work. And to be honest with you, it was probably one of the worst deadlines you've had in 3 or 4 years because of how good your team was.
Right.
So there's that. But as far as the offseason goes, he had a really good offseason last year, but people are still stuck in this whatever. I need to be mad. They don't spend. They won't spend. I don't trust these people. It's sort of like taking it like Mayo in the end of Belichick's years out on Vrabel.
Right. That's an analogy that a lot of people, I think, were still kind of getting over. But regardless of that, Lou Maloney with us here on WEEI. Let's flip over to the other side of the roster and the depth chart. I feel like your Twitter profile picture might give this one away. But yep. who's the bat that you think the Red Sox should be targeting the most?
I still think it's Bregman.
Okay.
And I know I got my Twitter profile up there, but listen, I would take Pete Alonso in a heartbeat, and I want Bregman and Alonso. I don't know if that's going to happen. And the more I kind of, you dive into it, and it's like, I want 45 home runs, and when you get 45 homers, you got to kind of give up something, and you're going to be giving up defense at first base and everything else, but if it's a 3-year deal, I think I'm all in. So I think there's a lot of options they can go. I love Bo Bichette, but that could be a 7-8-year deal, and you don't know if Bo wants to go back to Toronto. Why wouldn't you,
right,
given what you're seeing right now and what they're doing? So this is probably the area, Dan, where, to be honest with you, I think right now is that they drastically need to change their DNA offensively. They really need some help. I mean, you don't have corner infielders, and right now your second baseman, you're just kind of throwing bodies at.
Right.
And you lost Bregman, and everybody and their brother thinks they're going to trade away an outfielder. So, you're going to lose what, Duran? Pretty good player. You're going to lose Abreu? A lot of home runs. So, you can't lose an outfielder and just bring back Bregman and say, we're good. No, you're down a bat from where you were last year. And I know Roman is coming, but we can't just think that Roman Anthony is going to just take over everything and cover everybody. You're still losing offensive production if you trade an outfielder. So you need two bats and then a secondary. bat, in my opinion. It kind of changed the DNA what this offense is.
So, pie in the sky optimism, when we break camp at the end of March, what would you want the DNA of the Red Sox offense to look like in contrast to what it was at the end of this season?
Well, this is where we're going about first base with Polar Bear. Like, I would love to have Polar Bear.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going to admit that I have never seen Okamoto play before, like the kid in Japan.
You're probably one of the many, I would guess.
Yeah, like many people haven't, and everyone's pretending to in what he's going to be. So I'm not even going to pretend. But based on a profile, you know, of contact, you know, doesn't swing and miss, doesn't strike out, can hit you 25 to 30 homers, and even if that's 20 to 25, I'll take it. You want the DNA, to be honest with you, I want more contact, and I want more guys potentially hit 20 to 25. Will I take a 45 home run guy? Absolutely.
Right.
But if I got five or six guys that can pop me 20 to 25, if I can build a lineup like that and I can make more contact, because that's where this team lost. When they struck out 10 times or more, that's when they lost. When they struck out with a man on third, that's when they struggled to get guys in scoring position. So it's like just bringing in more strikeouts and bad defensive players doesn't change much, in my opinion. I'm not sure I'm big on that anymore.
You know, it got to the point also where you guys on the broadcast were laughing when the Red Sox got the bases loaded. Like, that's how weak it became with runners in scoring position. So I'm right there with you on that. Wanted to throw in a question from the 802 on the text line. Ask Lou why Craig Breslow may be going after JT Realmuto when we have Narvaez. Have you seen that rumor? What did you make of that one?
I think that people get a little crazy with the whole interest thing.
Okay.
You know, Realmuto wants to stay in Philadelphia. I'm sure the Red Sox call because they should call on every single free agent. Realmuto may be option Z or L or F or right. I don't know what. So he's a hitter that can improve your ball club. So, yo, play it out. Listen, we're interested in your player. We like him. We got a lot of things going on. We don't know where this free agency is going to go. If he's interested in a one-year plus or a two-year deal, we may get back to you. Give us a call if his market hits that area. I'll let you know where we are offensively, but we are interested. So now that agent calls up Ken Rosenthal. Ken Rosenthal puts it out there because he's trying to put heat on Dave Dombrowski to get the three-year deal he wants out of Philly. This is how it works. I saw someone tweet when Rafael Iglesias signed with Atlanta saying, somebody off the book, they were tied to him and they were interested in him. And I can tell you and confirm that his name never came up.
Wow.
There was zero interest in Rafael Iglesias, you know, but the Bats, they should be interested in everybody and they should make calls on everybody. But I don't think he's option A. You know what I mean? Like, it's what if Okamoto is like, I want to play for the Angels because that's where Ohtani went. What if Bregman gets a 10-year deal somewhere? Like, who knows? Schwarber stays in Philly. You know, Alonso wants to stay with New York. And then you're sitting there going, well, I think he learned a lesson at the trade deadline. You know, and this was part of the Sonny Gray thing. You know, when I got a pitcher here to improve my lineup and a rotation, I can do it now. Let's improve our rotation. Why am I sitting around waiting for Joe Ryan and get stuck with Dustin May? Like, I got to put this team together any way I can right now.
Yeah, that was a quote that jumped out from that post game or that post trade press conference as well. Can't perfectly dictate timelines, and in two short years, I've learned that when we have an opportunity in front of you that makes sense, you need to act on it. That seems almost directly. You might as well just add in, I learned that from the trade deadline at the
100%.
End. 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
But before we let you go, Lou, because you've been so generous with your time, if you were putting together this roster, who are the three guys in your outfield on opening day?
Whew. Well, I'll put it this way. I'd have Sadon in center, Abreu in right, Anthony in left, and Duran DHing.
Oh, okay. So there's no move that's being made out of that group in your eyes.
Yeah, it's like I understand we want to use one of them to improve our club, and I'm sure they're going to try to do that. But I'm not just getting rid of a very good outfielder so I can give more at-bats to Yoshida.
Right.
Just not doing it. You know what I mean? I'm just not doing it.
Yeah.
Now, if I can get, you know, this fill a hole at first base or third base or second base or in the rotation with one of them, I totally understand that. But I'm not just doing it for prospects. I'll throw up in my mouth. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want all four of them unless I'm going to use one of them to improve somewhere else.
Right, right. It's the counter to what you just did with Sonny Gray. If you want to consider that to be a win now, improve in 2026 move, then you're kind of doing the exact opposite by moving off of some guy just for the sake of moving off of him.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, I still think Yoshida can play. I still think he can help somebody. Just not this team. It just doesn't fit.
Right.
You know, it just it doesn't. It's like You know, because you're looking at it saying, okay, we can go improve at first base and DH. Well, it's like, well, we got the DH. It's like, well, okay. But isn't Duran a better DH than Yoshida? Or isn't Abreu getting somebody off their feet? Or you know, all these other guys, like, a better DH than that? Like, can't we just, you know, it's that's why I say this offense just has to get a little tweaked somehow. I don't know how they do it, but they got to figure something out.
Lou, what are you thankful for this year, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm thankful for a lot. You know, family's healthy, friends, the job I have allows me to do it, Sox Nation, and hopefully this thing, like, you know, just started doing these games and heading in the right direction, making the playoffs and making it some excitement. So I'm thankful for a lot. And I even tweeted the other day, even like the trolls that come at me just to piss me off, like I'm bored, you know what I mean? So yeah. I react to them. I'm even thankful for them, Dan.
Well, you know? There you go. That's a level of gratitude I hope everybody gets to have in their life. But Lou, we are thankful for you and thankful for the time. Enjoy the next stretch of hopefully exciting offseason news.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. Same to you. That is Lou Maloney joining us here on WEEI. We'll react to some of his thoughts, including a potential non-move in the outfield. We'll do that.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Next. Back here on WEEI, thank you as always to Lou Maloney, who has a lot to be thankful for this year, including the internet trolls, which I didn't necessarily think was possible, but I guess it keeps him entertained at very least, so why not be thankful for them as well?
I was talking to him off the air before we had him on, and I was like, dude, you've been pretty busy on Twitter, right? He's like, dude, I'm bored, and these people just want to get attention. I'm like, well, you're giving it to him. He's like, yeah, I know, but I can't help it.
Yeah, you look at his Twitter. I mean, the amount of quote tweets that you find just on people who are complaining, and he just, you know, gives very level-headed most times answers, except for the most recent one that I see, which is Brian Hoke, who covers the Yankees. He just responded and said, what's wrong with people? Which, you know, I agree with. So Lou is always busy. If you don't already follow him on Twitter at Lou Maloney, because you're going to get not only the news that's coming with the team, but the reaction that we so love. And I didn't mean to get into the conversation specifically on Craig Breslow in the Red Sox front office. It wasn't something I had written down or had run past him by any means, but it was just it was a question that I think a lot of people are still torn on in terms of, does Craig Breslow and his front office staff that has been put together over the last 2 years in Boston, do they deserve more credit than they get? And I'm also trying to have that question separate from, does Red Sox ownership get more credit than they get? Because if you believe what I think has been shown across multiple regimes now, from Heim Bloom into Craig Breslow, if you believe that the Red Sox MO is only spending a certain amount of money and only having a certain amount of payroll flexibility to be a certain level of aggressive on getting the best players in baseball on your team, if you are working under the guise that that is what the mission statement is of ownership right now, then I think you have to understand that the moves that we see from Breslow and company are kind of made with one hand tied behind their back. So the fact that the Red Sox have had the hit rate that they have with the cast-offs, the Rule 5 guys, the guys that have been waived, your Romy Gonzalez's of the world, your Justin Wilson's of the world, those players that have kind of come in and fill a role that maybe they weren't filling with past teams, that's where I think the credit is deserved. Now, the one thing that is going to be held against them, and this is absolutely fair, is when crunch time comes around, when it's trade deadline time, when it's time to make those winning moves that the best general managers make en route to playoff success and World Series championships, that's where there is no credit that is deserved, because we don't have any evidence in front of us that suggests that Craig Breslow is capable of operating during those times. When you have the runway clear, to borrow a Patriots term, when the runway is clear and there's nothing but time and assets and money and opportunity during the offseason, then that's when Breslow has shown that he's at his best. When he's able to methodically negotiate through a deal and run through all the options, and I'm assuming crunch the numbers in the algorithm with all the driveline people and make sure that every move is, to use a tech term, optimized before the Red Sox make the move. That's what he excels at. And that's how you get Garrett Crochet. That's how you get Carlos Narvaez. That's how you get Aroldis Chapman an offseason ago. I still don't believe that he deserves credit for acquiring Alex Bregman. I still believe that that's Alex Cora told John Henry that that's what Craig Breslow should do. So he was forced to do that. I still completely believe that. But the other moves that were made because there was time and the ability to think things through, I think that's where he deserves his specific credit. But having the killer instinct of a GM that improves his team at the trade deadline is something that I guess either comes with time, and he hasn't had enough time on the job in order to master that skill set, or it just happens for some people and it doesn't for others, and he doesn't possess that ability. So unfortunately, you're going to have to employ Craig Breslow longer in order to learn whether or not he just needed time to develop, or whether he simply doesn't have the ability to make those cutthroat moves and just kind of trust your gut. Time is ticking down. You don't have time to run the numbers anymore. You don't have time to make calls to your scouts or check the analytics. You just got to decide, am I making this move and am I rolling the dice or not? We haven't seen that one yet. Now, the quote that was given, and I iterated this to Lou, and this was kind of what he was talking about as well. You can't perfectly dictate timelines. And in 2 short years here, I've learned that when you have an opportunity in front of you that makes sense, you need to act on it. I mean, you want to translate that from Breslovian into English? I screwed up acquiring Joe Ryan. I dragged my feet. I took too much time. And I'm learning that I can't do that again, which is why, when they were presented with the opportunity to acquire Sonny Gray before really any pitching domino had fallen, either on the free agent market or via trade, that's why that move was made. So it kind of looked hasty on this side of the microphone, but Breslow would then tell you that that's him learning from his mistakes. So we'll see if that continues. We'll see if that growth continues. But we'll continue our conversation on the Red Sox Hot Stove coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Don't forget, we have Paul Hambakidis of ESPN and Get Up, as well as the Baseball Tonight podcast, joining us at 12:30. Then at 1, we'll get into Patriots and Giants and Tommy Curran's comments. Are the Patriots really capable of losing 3 games in a row? What's the best case scenario over this stretch of games, including the bye week? What is the worst case scenario? And does it even really matter? because other teams have their hands full around the Patriots at the top of the AFC. So that's all coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. But up next, the hitting side of things. John Heyman reporting five names that the Red Sox have been connected to. Do any of these names make sense? And which ones do you want? We'll get into that next.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience.
I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.